Please turn in your Bibles once again, unplanned, at least unplanned by us, Psalm 103. Little did Mr. Zietz know he was cheerfully stealing my thunder when he commented on this passage earlier this morning. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's pray. Father, indeed, as our brother noted this morning, that this psalm by itself could well stand as our hymn book. If we were to explore all of the themes that are present here, we would see the gospel in all of its beauty. And although the name of Jesus is not specifically and explicitly named in this psalm, Jesus is all through this psalm. The grace of God to us through the Lamb of God given for the sins of the world. Lord, help us now as we give ourselves to public thanksgiving, and help us in this meditation to see the truth about thankfulness that we see here. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 103 is my favorite psalm. Part of the reason for that is its honesty, because it's a psalm for people who don't feel very thankful. And maybe you feel that way sometimes. Maybe you feel that way today. You've been thinking a little bit about the opportunity you have to give public thanks, men, on behalf of your family, and you think, what do we have to be thankful for? Well, I want you to consider the first two verses very briefly with me and remember two words. The first word I want you to remember is resolution, and the second word is recollection. Resolution we see in verse 1. David talks to himself. He talks to his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. It appears to me that David didn't feel like blessing the Lord, that David has to stir up his soul, that David has to talk to his soul and say, bless the Lord. Thanksgiving, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is a moral imperative. We're commanded to be thankful. On general principles, in terms of what we have received from God, I could take you to specific passages that command us to be thankful. David is honest about his emotions, but he doesn't just roll around in his emotions. He talks to himself and says, my soul, bless God. All that is within me, bless God. He wants the thanks, the giving of thanks, to proceed from his heart, not just from his lips. We don't give in to our feelings when we don't feel thankful any more than we give in to our feelings on any other moral imperative. Can you imagine saying, well, I just don't feel like being honest today? So just about everything that will proceed from my mouth will be a pack of lies. You know, I just don't feel like telling the truth. You'd say, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. God says, tell the truth. The same God that says, tell the truth, says to us, be thankful. Christians ought to be characterized by principled gratitude, just as much as we ought to be characterized by principled honesty or principled sexual purity. You'll never get very far in the Christian life if you don't learn to talk to yourself. Mostly that's regarded as a sign of being a little bit, he's talking to himself again. Well, the psalmist frequently talks to himself. Resolution. He's resolved to do what he knows he must do, what is both his privilege and duty to do, and that is to bless the Lord for all of the good things that he has received from his God. So resolution, be resolved to be thankful. And as in most other duties, if you're resolved to do them, the feelings will catch up. But now the second word I want you to remember is recollection. And that brings us to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It seems to me as if David is finding his soul to be a hard sell. It's almost, I don't mean to be irreverent or anything, but it's almost like in between verse 1 and verse 2, the soul responds by saying, but I don't want to bless the Lord. And so David says again, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, how do I do that? Here's how to do it. Forget not all his benefits. Remember, recollect, rehearse in your mind all of the things that you have received from God. We don't discipline ourselves, do we, enough to focus on the truth, to go back to the scriptures again and again, and to get our perspective right. What is it that we have to be thankful for? We have everything to be thankful for. Now, in particular, I want to encourage you to do these two things as you, well, put it this way if you want, count your blessings. As you think about God's gifts, two things in particular to flesh that out. Number one, don't forget the most important things. And if you would read down through the psalm, and we read down through most of it this morning, you will see that as David stirs up his soul to recollect the blessings of God, that chief among them is God's mercy, the forgiveness of sins through God's provided Redeemer. And it's that perspective that we need to keep. As our brother reminded us this morning, what we deserve from God is hell. Every moment out of hell is grace. And if you think your situation is difficult, ask yourself this. Would one of the damned trade places with me right now? Any one of the damned would trade places with you if he could. If you have the forgiveness of sins, whatever else you have or don't have doesn't matter very much. Not as much as that anyway. From the very first, the devil has sought to get people to focus on the one thing they don't have rather than all the things they do have. Where does Satan attack Eve in Genesis 3? Forget everything you've got. Focus on this one thing that God has denied. And all of the attention is focused on that. And Eve can't seem to break out of that tunnel vision and think about, well, who cares about that one tree? Look at all the stuff I have. Instead, you just can't get her mind off of that. We're all like Eve in that way. Now, I'm not discounting your struggles and your afflictions. Please don't misunderstand. I know a little bit about affliction. I know some of the afflictions that some of you face. They're tough. And it's hard. And I don't know the half of your struggles. But remember this. If you are a Christian, you are at peace with God. What value do you place upon that? What is that worth to you? And not only that, you can call upon God. In the midst of your struggles and trials, as Pastor Mitch reminded us this morning, they're all part of God's plan for His glory and for your good. So when you come to the struggles, the afflictions, the difficulties in your life, you can embrace them and say, this is from God. It is for my good and for His glory, and He will help me to get through it. I've spent in the last few years quite a bit of time in hospitals, emergency rooms, and I've seen people struggle in very difficult circumstances, and more than once I've said to other people, how do they make it without God? How do they make it without being able to call upon God? Well, if you're a Christian, you can call upon God. You can look God in the eye and say, Lord, you sent this to me. Give me the strength to bear it. So don't forget the most important things. But then secondly, don't remember to look forward. I remember one of the first times I visited out here when Mitch and Nancy came here several years ago. And I remember Mitch driving me around and introducing me a little bit to Chester County, not dreaming that I would come to live here one day. He mentioned the Campbell Soup heirs who live in this area. And if I recall correctly, he said there were some children in the Campbell Soup family who, when they got to a certain age, would automatically receive $1 million. Do I remember that correctly? That's what I recall. Just when they got to 18 or 21, I forget which it was, $1 million in your bank account. Can you imagine going to school with those kids and listening to them complain about pocket money? Never have enough money. I can't buy a car. How am I ever going to get through college? Wouldn't you want to just pound them? I mean, wouldn't you? What are you whining about? When you turn 18 or 21, you're going to have 1 million smackers just popped into your bank account. Well, I don't have it now. Okay, you don't have it now, but you're going to have it. It's just as if you have it now. If we can't discipline ourselves to think about what is ours, but we don't actually hold in our hands yet, you're going to have an awfully hard time being thankful. But some of the things that David mentions in Psalm 103 are things that haven't actually happened yet, that he hasn't actually fully received yet. But it's as if he has. God hasn't healed all my diseases yet, but I as good as have that in my hands. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He doesn't do it yet. But he will. Think ahead. We become too attached to the world. We don't think enough about heaven and the new creation. If we did, we would be a lot more thankful and contented people. We have so much now, but we haven't seen anything yet. And the more we can think about what is to come, perfect health, perfect happiness, perfect holiness, we can be grateful. So let us be a thankful people. We must be, and we have every reason to be. Well, may that prime the pumps a little bit as some of us will stand up and give public thanks and others of us will enter into that. May God help us to be resolved to be thankful and to remember all His benefits. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for our lack of contentment, our lack of gratitude, our complaining. Forgive us, Lord. It is a terrible sin. Because as the people of God, we have so much, and the best is yet to come. And even in the hard times, we pray, Lord, that You would help us to be able to see the bigger picture. The devil wants us to focus on the affliction, on the thing that we don't have. Help us, Lord, to focus on all that we do have and all that is yet to come. Bless these minutes, these couple of hours, Lord, that we will spend in the giving and the hearing of others giving thanks. May our hearts indeed swell with gratitude to our good God. In Jesus' name, amen.